Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. Transformed by prayer. We talked about last week, just in the introductory remarks, about this little game my buddy Pete Hookinga got me into playing a little bit with the gas tank. You know, how far can you go before you run out of gas? So I bring that back up this morning to ask you, how far did you go this week? Huh? Some of you are thinking, well, I was running on empty. Come around Thursday. Let me ask you this. Did you fill back up? Remember what we said last week when it came to this? You cannot stay spiritually filled up unless you are prayed up. Amen. You cannot stay spiritually filled up unless you are prayed up. And we are transformed by prayer. Now, we can start out by saying our transformation, we know that it comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. When we confess Him as Lord, when we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, that He died for our sins, and that it was His work on Calvary that transforms lives, that He alone and His sacrifice alone is what transforms life. Jesus Christ shed His blood so that we might have forgiveness of sin. The Bible says in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But when we called upon His name, and His blood was applying to our life, we were made new in Christ. Old things were passed away, and all things are new. So we can say we've been transformed by prayer simply because we called upon the name of the Lord and asked Him to forgive us our sins and come into our heart and be our Savior. And I can assure you this morning, if you've never called upon Christ, if you're depending on anything other than that relationship with Christ to merit you heaven, maybe you're thinking, hey, I'm a member of a church. Well, good for you. But that's not going to get you to heaven. So, well, preacher, I'm involved in church, and I teach a Sunday school class. Great. Not going to get you to heaven. You know, as we say around here, it's not a religion. It's in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And so transformed by prayer, we can think of it in that context that we've been transformed because we've called upon the name of the Lord. Now, last week we were talking about our admonition to pray. What did Paul write here in Philippians? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. There's an admonition for us to pray. Why? Well, first of all, God wants us to pray. Amen. Even the apostles, when they were walked with the Lord and they came to the Lord and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And He said, when you pray, pray this way. And we know we have the model prayer. And so when we think about it, we talked about last week, first of all, when it comes to the admonition to pray that we see in this passage, there's a connectivity to prayer. We need to have a connectivity to prayer. Now, what we mean by that is that oftentimes there is a disconnect when it comes to praying. Oh, God's not interested in this or that. God's not interested in where I am. And Paul says, in everything by prayer and supplication. There is no need so small or need so great that God does not want us to communicate with Him regarding these needs, these issues of life, even the praises of life and the rejoicing in life. God wants us to communicate with Him. And so don't ever become disconnected in the idea of what you should pray for or what you shouldn't pray for, but that in everything by prayer and supplication. Secondly, we talked about to pray continuously. We know that Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 through 19, he talks about praying always. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, he says, pray always, pray without ceasing. So there's a continuous prayer. Not only that, we talked about The confident, pray confidently. First of all, because of who we pray to. We pray to the God of this universe. We pray to the God of heaven. He says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. We can pray confidently. In 1 John, he talks about if we pray according to his will, we know that he hears us. And so we can pray confidently. Then, I didn't mention this last week, but I want to bring this by way of introduction this morning. We ought to pray consistently. Consistently. So, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, the best way I can illustrate this is sometimes people get involved in praying continuously, but it's only continuously when they're in the mode of praying, when they think about it. When it's kind of, most people on the university level understand the illustration that it's an experiment that is done, and they take a chicken, they put it in this cage, in this room, and they have a red button and a green button. And every time the chicken will go and peck the green button, some feed comes out. And it's like classical conditioning. The more he pecks on that green button, the more feed comes out. And all of a sudden, that chicken is consistently going to the green button because he knows every time he goes, he's going to get something pretty good. Then they shut off the spigot. They take away the feed when he starts pecking on the green button. You know what happens to that chicken? Eventually, he quits pecking on that green button. And that's the way it is a lot of times in our prayer life. We are continuously praying as long as we feel like God's hearing us and God's answering our prayers the way we want them answered. And the moment that we feel like the faucet of heaven is shut off from us, all of a sudden, we're not so continuously praying, and that's inconsistent in prayer. And that's, I challenge you this morning, we ought to be consistent in prayer. Amen. We ought to be praying when we're on the mountaintop. We know it's easy to pray when we're in the valley because we know we need God's help. But oftentimes on the mountaintop, things are going good. It's like, well, okay, Dad, I don't know that I need to pray as much as I was praying because things are going pretty good. God answered prayer. And then all of a sudden, we're on the mountaintop. We forget to pray, and all of a sudden, there's things that are going on. We think, God's not hearing us. Listen to me. We need to pray consistently. Amen. In our lives. In everything by prayer and supplication. Now, I made mention last week, and I want to clarify a statement that I made last week. I made a statement last week that he hears all of our prayers. Now, that statement is made with the assumption that we are right with God. All right? Now, I think we can safely say God knows all of our prayers, whether we're right or we're not right, because he's omniscient, omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. But David writes in Psalm 66, verse 18, he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord does not hear me. If there is sin in our life, if we regard iniquity, what does the word regard mean? What does it mean by regard? That is to give attention to or concern myself with as not to let it go. So if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I give attention to sin in my life, he doesn't hear my prayer. You said, preacher, that doesn't sound like very love. No. That's why John writes in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he, the Lord, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That verse was written to believers. Why? Because there's the old man, there's the new man. And if we feed the new man and we exercise the new man, and if we constantly cultivate that relationship in our walk as the new man, then when the old man comes up and we're tempted and Satan tries to throw us a curveball, if you please, we know we have spent time in prayer. We know we are right with God. We know we have confessed our sins. We know we're in right relationship with Him. We know we have the armor of God. And when we humble ourselves before God, He says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So we have to understand that when it comes to our prayer life, which brings me to the second point of the message in Transformed by Prayer, and that's the approach to prayer. First of all, we need to approach prayer with humility. We need to approach prayer with humility. What is written in 2 Chronicles 7:40? It's a passage that we use when we want to talk about our country. He says, if my people who are called by my name, what's the first statement he says? What's that word? Humble themselves. And pray. So when we look at that passage and we break it down, we see there's a first step to this ideal of praying and approaching God, and that's humility. Amen. Humility. We think of it. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Just a few pages over from where we are, 1 Peter chapter 5. Notice what he says. Look at me in verse number 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with, what's the word there? Humility. For God resists the proud. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the, what's the word there? Humble. Therefore, because, you know, when you see the word therefore, stop and see what it's there for, all right? It connects the previous verse to what he's about to say. Because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You see, when we think about this concept of humility, we come before the Lord. He says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Let me tell you something. There's a difference in being proud and being bold. Somebody can confuse the idea that I'm bold for God, and I will tell you, it's a fine line between somebody taking this boldness to a level of being proud. And there's never space for us as followers of Christ in our boldness to be haughty or high-minded. We're always to be in a spirit of humility, even in our boldness. He said, then preacher, what is that? But it's talking about our confidence. We don't have to be ashamed or worried whether or not God will receive us into his presence if we come to him with a humble heart and a repentant heart and right with him. God says, come to me. He says here in this passage, cast your care upon me, for I care for you. That's pretty awesome if you ask me. I've been in conversations with people that you would think they would care for you, but you just sense from them, they just don't give 2 cents and a hoot about you, right? I don't know what 2 cents and a hoot means, but nonetheless, let's throw that out there for you. I know that's deep and theological and very intellectual, but, you know, you just interpret it however you want. But you talk to some people, you just think, but they don't really care about what I mean. It's like you just talk right through them. But it's not that way with God. And he says, he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see, in our prayers, in humility, we should not pray like the Pharisees pray. You see, the Pharisees were the religious crowd. They were the intellectual crowd of the day. They were the educated crowd of the day. They were the ruling crowd of the day. You read Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And it said the Pharisee stood, the Pharisee and the publican went down the temple to pray. And the Pharisee, notice how it says, he said he stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Extortioner. But he said those sinners, even as this publican. That's a pretty high-minded prayer if you ask me. And I think Jesus, as he's teaching here, bears this out. But it says that the publican stood, he couldn't as much as lift up his head. Showing humility. It's a picture of humility. And he says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I was in a discussion yesterday with a friend of mine about, he said, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where you find the sinner's prayer. Well, there's no particular place in the Bible that says this is the sinner's prayer. And there's no particular place in the Bible that says, you shall pray the sinner's prayer. But here's what I told him. I said, first of all, when you take the Bible in its entirety and its context, and you see where it talks about the confessing with our mouth and calling upon the name of the Lord, there's a prayer involved there. And we believe and know the Bible teaches that once we confess and we become his child, what happens to us? We are justified. So now let's just look and see what it means to be justified. And where's the prayers that we see that talks about this man went down and was justified because of something he prayed? We'll go to Luke chapter 18. He could as much as said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And what did Jesus say? These are words that the Lord spoke. He said, this man went down to his house justified. What does the word justified mean? Just as if he had never sinned. And so when we think about this praying and our approach to prayer, it has to be with humility. Secondly, avoid hypocrisy in prayer. Have humility and avoid hypocrisy. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus here again, he's teaching this in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, and when you pray, notice what he says, you shall not be like the hypocrites. So he tells we need to avoid hypocrisy in our prayers. He's specifically talking about prayer, and he's specifically given a directive of what we are not to be when we pray. He says, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Now, let's just stop at that verse for just a moment. In this passage and in its context, because in just a moment, he starts talking about the closet. He starts talking about the secret place. And the whole purpose behind this is not the location of the prayer, but the motivation in the prayer. Because notice what he says. Back in verse 5 again. Underscore this. When you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. Here it is. That they may be seen of men. I will tell you, as somewhat of a musician growing up, I was around music a little bit, most of you know. I've been known to croon a tune or two or three, you know, or sing or Southern gospel, whatever you want to put it. And I will tell you a couple of things that as a worship leader and as putting together musicians and bands, the first thing, one of the rule of thumbs that you have, when somebody comes to you and says, I can't play this, mark it down, they probably can't. I've had people come and say, I can play the drums. And okay, come play. And you wonder, how in the world are you going to stay with that? Why? Because there was a wrong motivation behind why they want to play the drums. They just want to be seen in a minute. It wasn't that they had any talent. So, preacher, that sounds mean. No, I'm just being honest. So when we look at this, when we think about it from the point of view of avoid hypocrisy and the motivation behind what you're doing and why you're doing it, Jesus is not making the point about the location. He's making the point about the motivation. The only reason they want to stand and pray in the synagogue is to be seen of men. I will tell you, as a pastor, you have to be cautious who you let pray in public. You have to be cautious. And I have to be cautious who we let stand behind this pulpit. Amen. Why? Because we, first of all, we want to make sure it's biblical.
Amen.
And also because we have a responsibility also to do what we can to discern what is hypocrisy.
Amen. Amen.
And so when we look at this, and he says, don't be like the hypocrites. Look with me in verse number 6. But you, when you pray, he says, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. Now let's just stop at that verse for just a moment. Now think how complex this can be. We have Paul's admonition under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God says, pray without ceasing. We have the admonition to pray continuously. How many of you can fit your private prayer room in your car? Yeah. How many of you can take your closet from your house and carry it with you? Okay. You get the point. You say, "Hey, that's a little ridiculous." I know, because I'm trying to drive home the point, what Jesus is talking about here. When we come to the Lord and we approach in prayer, we need to shut everything else out. That's what he's saying. If you have a prayer closet, awesome. If you have a special place that you go, a room that you go in your home because you just feel that the presence of the Lord is with you when you're in that place and pray, I say, awesome. Wonderful. I know when my wife in the morning gets up and has her Bible and walks out to the swing, she's going out to her room under the tree. And she's going to swing there. She's going to pray. She's going to read her Bible and have her devotion. So it's different places. We shut the world out. We come to a time where it's between me and the Lord. It doesn't matter. I can sit here on this front pew in this with the congregation all around me. And don't be offended by this, but I can shut you out and be alone with the Lord. And many of you know what I'm talking about because you can do the very same thing. Doesn't matter really where you are. When I'm in my alone in my office here and the doors are shut, I can spend some time with the Lord. When I'm driving down 820, as we've often said, we know we need to spend time with the Lord, right? Don't recommend closing your eyes on that one, all right? But it's about shutting the world out and shutting being alone with God. Because what does he say? He says, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, here we go. What does prayer sound like? I have people oftentimes tell me, you know, preacher, I would pray in public. I just don't know what to say. Just talk to them.
Amen.
Notice what he says. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. Now he's saying, those hypocrites, they're heathen in their prayers. Because of their vain, their empty words. For they think they will be heard for their many words. You ever been in a service somewhere and somebody stood and prayed in public and they prayed 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 and they prayed? And some of you think, well, preacher, you're sounding anti-spiritual. I'm not anti-spiritual. We need to pray. I heard and read where someone rightfully said, a man who prays much in private will make short prayers in public. A man who prays much in private will pray short in public. That's what Jesus is saying here. Because you see, it's not about us, it's about him. And we need to have humility in our prayer. We need to avoid hypocrisy in our prayer. He goes on, he says, therefore, do not be like them. Your Father who knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Remember I said he knows everything, knows all? He says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then he says these words, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let me just tell you how that qualifies. If you regard iniquity in your heart, if you're harboring unforgiveness, that's regarding iniquity in your heart. So, have humility in prayer. Avoid hypocrisy in prayer. Thirdly, have expectancy in prayer. Have expectancy in prayer. When you pray,
amen.
Pray in faith, believing.
Amen.
Now this is, again, this is not a name it and claim it, all right? Turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Let's see what the Bible says. Verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. Remember I talked about praying confidently. Now we're talking about pray with expectancy. He says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, and you have to underscore this, these three little words, according to his will. It's actually four words, all right? According to his will. He hears us. Now, the first thing is, that is according to his will, is that we pray. Okay? So, you're on a good track. Once you start praying, you're in his will because he wants us to pray. But then, as you pray, we are praying according to his will. Just as Jesus prayed in the garden when he said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. You see, because sometimes his will is not according to our will. And if we believe that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, he wants what's best for us.
Amen.
He knows what's best for us. Now, we may think we know what's best. I mean, we've been geared to think that way since Father Knows Best came out on TV, right? The younger crowd don't know why, have a clue what I'm talking about. Those that laugh, you know they're up in years, all right? Just so you know. Because what does he say? And if we know, verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask. Now remember, so praying according to his will, that whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. See, sometimes our prayer, we make our petitions known. He wants us to. He says, cast your care upon me, for I care for you. But we need to understand that sometimes the way we pray is not completely his plan. And we have to ask God to help us in our finite minds to help us to understand, to help us to be grateful for however he chooses to answer the prayer, whether he answers it exactly according to our will or not. My little wife, several years ago, when her daddy laid in the hospital, for all practical purposes, a healthy man, except for pulmonary fibrosis. Don't know how he got it, don't know where it came from, but I mean a strong man. And pray, as many, even in our church family here, knows when we went through that time, pray that God would heal him. But had to come to a place to say, Lord, whatever you choose to do, I'm going to be grateful and thankful for. Amen. Man, sometimes that's the hardest prayer to pray. Amen. But that's praying according to his will. Jesus, as we are to model Christ and as we are to become more like Christ, that's beginning to understand as much as we can in our finite minds, not my will, but thine be done. And when we pray according to his will, he hears us. And when we pray according to his will, we have the petition that we've laid before him. See, the problem is sometimes we want something so badly that we will get to a place where, Lord, I don't care what you want, I know what I want. Then you have to come back up to what we talked about first. Have humility in our prayer. When we start interjecting what we want, number one, that's really a proud statement because that's saying we know better than what God knows. But we can pray with expectancy. Why? Because God loves you. God loved you so much that he sent Jesus, his only begotten son, to die for you. So that you as a sinner, you as someone who has disappointed God, someone who has offended God, someone who has lived a life that God cannot look on sin, yet he sent his son to die for you. And I know I'm pointing that way, but I have three more fingers pointing back at me on each hand. I'm included in that. God loved me. Why? Because he knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for me. And we have to trust him. Amen. In our approach. Heads bowed and eyes closed. First thing I ask you this morning, do you have a relationship with Christ? What I mean by relationship with Christ, I'm not talking about do you have an intellectual knowledge of who Christ is and that he was the Son of God or proclaimed to be the Son of God. I'm asking you if you have a relationship with Christ. Has there been a time in your life when you called upon his name to be your Savior? Friend, if you have not ever done that, he will transform your life by calling upon him. If you're a child of God, maybe something we've shared with you, something that God had laid upon our heart to share with you this morning, maybe it's challenged you in your prayer life. Maybe for some, you regard iniquity in your heart. You need to come. Lay it at the feet of the cross, the foot of the cross, and give it to the Lord. Maybe for others, that's not the issue in your life. It's just you have stepped in and want what you want, not what God wants. Maybe you need to come and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Maybe you need to come this morning and say, Lord, you know the petitions I've made before your throne. You know what my heart's desire has been. But Lord, for this morning, for the first time, I want you to know, not my will, but thine be done. For some of you this morning, there's some things going on in your life you haven't been praying about. And you realize this morning, hey, perhaps I just need to give this to the Lord. Come this morning. Give it to him. Come with humility. Pray with expectancy. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that you tell us to come boldly to your throne of grace, that we may find this grace and mercy to help in time of need. Help us, Lord, not to regard iniquity in our heart. Lord, truly pray a prayer of repentance, Lord, to lay ourselves open before you. You may continue to mold and shape us as we cast our cares upon you, knowing you care for us. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, we pray they'll come and place their faith and trust in you today. Lord, for those who have needs in their life, Lord, maybe just some things you've spoken to them about this morning, may they come this morning with humility. May they not stay in their seat worried about what somebody might think if they go forward. May they not stay in their seat, Lord, because of pride. May they humble themselves before your throne. Come to an altar. Shut the world out and enter into that secret place and that relationship between God's child and the God of heaven, our Heavenly Father. May your will be done in Jesus' name. So prayerfully and quietly stand our feet. As Ricky begins to sing, you come this morning as the Lord leads you.
Are you hurting and broken?